Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You know, what's it when he does the whole like episode of Law and Order for his musical audition? He's like, dun 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 dun.
Yeah, do that.
No, I can't remember. I can never remember the lines. I can just remember.
I'll just go dun dun.
It's Operation Varsity Blues.
Dun dun. You're listening to Bandwagons.
Iconic.
Yeah, I'm sure some would say that. Some absolutely would say that about us and that intro.
Not the worst. Still not our worst.
Yeah, what would you say? Actually, we won't get into it.
No, let's not. Let's not bash ourselves today of all days.
On the Sabbath day, on the Bandwagons day, he rose again. Welcome back to Bandwagons, a podcast where we talk about all the things that other people are talking about. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Reid Brown.
I'm an equal in this.
Yeah.
It's me, Reid, my good friend, Vanula. Welcome back to my show.
Welcome back, Reid, my acquaintance.
Oh, how are you? What's the crack?
I asked you first.
Did you? Yeah. I'm good, yeah. Living the dream. Be in the moment.
Be in the moment. You're not even.
I am the moment.
You've gone so far beyond living in the moment that you've just become the moment.
She's an icon. She's a legend, and she is the moment.
That's admirable. That's good mental health advice.
Put that on my headstone.
I will. And I'm singing at your funeral.
She was an icon. She was a legend. She was the moment.
She was the moment.
And then they're like, whenever I die, hopefully a long time from now.
She had a point. She had a point right at the top.
Points are made.
I can manage that. Points are made.
What? How was your weekend?
How was my weekend? Fine. Can't really remember if I did anything of note or if I watched anything.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
I started watching Smother, which is on RTE. I kind of started watching.
It's a shite.
I enjoyed it, but like I hadn't seen like the first two episodes, but it kind of got me in enough that I was like, what's going on here? And has this sexy lad from the Borbia quality market. You know that sexy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was wondering how I knew him. Well. And Shauna Kerslake, so who I love.
The cast is very hot. The guy that plays the Copenhagen teacher guy that's seems to be a suspect. I don't know. Maybe don't spoil it for me because I'm probably going to continue watching this. Not really sure what's going on. There seems to have been someone fell. But he definitely didn't fall. It was a murder and everyone in the town hates each other. It's that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
It's RNG. I kind of half watched that and I thought it was good. But then The Circle was on, so I switched over to The Circle.
I haven't gone back to The Circle since I said I would. And I probably won't now. I'm too far gone.
Yeah. You need to be.
You're either in or you're out.
You could jump in now. You could absolutely jump in now, but I can understand why people don't. I feel like you either need to be watching from the start or, like, why would you bother? You know what I mean?
I watched.
And it's not a good one to binge because a lot of the day-to-day, the episodes, as we discussed on the Patreon episode, like either a lot happens or nothing happens. And more often than not, nothing kind of happens. You're just kind of watching that tension build. But anyway, what did you start to say there?
I am well and truly knee deep in the Marvel universe. I watched the two Tom Holland Spider-Mans because I do enjoy, I have been quoted.
Spider-Man.
I do enjoy the Spider-Mans.
You do enjoy the Spider-Man.
We got invited to a thing before where it was like some sort of Marvel launch in the Disney store. You couldn't go. So I went on my own and I got absolutely hounded by someone working there being like, so who's your favorite Marvel superhero? And I'd never seen any of them. I was just there for the buzz. And I said, I do love the Spider-Mans. And they took a picture of me and it went online. And I will never live it down. But I stand by it. I do enjoy the Spider-Mans. Tom Holland.
He's a very good Spider-Mans.
He was a wowie dud Spider-Man.
Tom Holland, what?
Tom Holland, I enjoy, but I don't know if I enjoyed them better. I enjoyed Far From Home better than Homecoming. I didn't really love Homecoming. I don't know if I enjoyed them better than the Tobey Maguire ones. I think I may go back and watch them and see if it still holds up, but I still think that they were the best with James Franco.
Did you watch any of the Andrew Garfield ones?
Yeah, I think I saw one of them.
Yeah.
I would say like they go in order of like Tobey Maguire number one, Andrew Garfield number two, Tom Holland number three. But I think it's just, maybe it's because it's just aging with the times and like Spider-Man's like taking selfies in the Tom Holland one while he's like swinging around and he's like fighting drones and stuff. And it's just like too new agey for me.
Maybe, you know? Yeah. Maybe. A lot of people who disagree with you about Andrew Garfield being the second best. Like,
well,
I know a lot of people.
To be honest.
Yeah, fair.
I know I liked it at the time.
I remember watching it and being like, but also as someone who had no vested interest in anything to do with Spider-Man's, I was like, yeah, this is good. I enjoyed this. But like my ex at the time was like obsessed with the Spider-Man's. And he said it wasn't a patch on to me where.
My ex at the time. I love that.
My ex at the time, sorry.
He's
my
boyfriend to me at the time. I went to see that.
Oh, that's bad. But yeah, he was very vehemently like, Andrew Garfield is no, he's no Spider-Man of mine.
I remember being absolutely traumatized about that one because that came out when we were in college and no one was arsed. I was so into the Tobey Maguire ones that when the new ones were coming out, I was like, I have to go see this, but no one was arsed to come with me. So I'm pretty sure I went by myself. And then I'm not going to spoil it, but like, I don't think that one has a happy ending. And I remember coming out of it being like, what the fuck? That's like ruined my week.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. Absolutely anyway. Traumas from a solo Spider-Man's adventure.
Also, Zendaya is 5'11 and Tom Holland is 5'7.
Tom Holland is a short king.
But they're like, yeah, how do they stand him up in a box? How do they make that work? Anyway.
CGI,
yeah. They just stretch
CGI
his legs.
CGI, leg lengthening. Stretch Armstrong. Anyway, is there a Stretch Armstrong movie? When are they adding Stretch Armstrong to the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Not soon enough.
We're really sorry for that episode, but we hope you had fun, if nothing else.
We had, yeah, I thought it was good.
That's all that matters, Preet. Today, we are talking about two people who are not going to be added to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Three people, and they are Felicity Huffman, Laurie Loughlin and Olivia Jade, as we talk about Operation Varsity Blues, the college admission scandal.
Yeah. What a shit show.
What a shit show, yeah.
I remember when
Rich people do be riching.
I remember when this broke and being like, okay, oh, it's like, oh, rich celebrities are buying their children's way into college. And I was like, what's the scandal here? I thought this was like, this is probably a lot more common. Like, I thought that was kind of like a done thing.
The paying money and stuff.
Just being like, oh, I'm a big Hollywood actor. I'll buy a wing of Harvard and then my daughter will go to Harvard. I kind of just thought it was more of a thing than a crime. Which it is, because that's like the backdoor route or whatever.
I thought bribes are just bribes. I didn't realize it was crime.
The front door, the back door and the side door. Like, I don't know.
But I think it just goes to show that like they, that in terms of the back door, in terms of like, they were kind of they wanted to do whatever to get them into the college. But like, even paying that amount of money with the backdoor option, which was like tens of millions.
Yeah.
Like, didn't even guarantee them entry. And then you're still talking about like them having to pay fees and stuff. It's just all fucking batshit. Like,
to go like to just to go to a certain college because they needed to uphold an image. Like, it just baffles me. Baffles me. Do you want to explain what it was generally, and then we can get into like the people at the center of it?
So basically, it was this guy who kind of set himself up as like, so in America, there's like a whole industry around like college admissions as it is, right? Because obviously, like, there's a lot of colleges and a lot of like prestigious colleges and people want to get into them and whatever else, but places only have a certain amount of places or whatever, whatever. So basically there was this guy and he worked with like families to offer like another avenue, mainly kind of these upper class families, not necessarily like celebrities, but people who had a lot of money, who were looking for another avenue to get their kids into these kind of Ivy League colleges because, let's say, their test scores and stuff wouldn't have been enough. And as we just mentioned there, they didn't want to pay like up and out of their hole to go in the back door. Because like, as you said, a lot of these colleges did have these back doors where it was like, oh yes, you can pay, but you're not guaranteed. So basically this guy who used to be involved in like, he was like a basketball coach, wasn't he?
Yeah. Somewhere? I have this whole backstory I can get into in a minute.
We'll get into that, yeah. But basically he kind of set up this enterprise where he worked with these families under the guise that he was getting them through this side door. He would take payment from them and usually use it as a bribe for sports teams in whatever colleges to essentially fabricate this story that the child was like a part of these like niche sports teams, like water polo, fucking that kind of ilk, not like soccer or any of the mad mainstream ones, like these ones, because they were massively underfunded. They needed the funding. So he spotted that gap there and was like, right, okay, I'm going to work with these families and get their kids in this way. And this was going on for years and across like several, as we mentioned, like high profile rich families, until eventually it kind of caught up to him. It wasn't him that was caught. It was like an associate of his who basically ratted on another associate who ratted on your man. And then your man, the coach, ratted on all the families. Like, it's just this web of deception and money. Insane. Absolutely insane. And
it was this is the side door option for these families that probably couldn't afford, like, they're not like top tier celebs or wealthy. So they probably, to pay like a $10 million donation to a college and not be guaranteed a spot, like, wasn't really an option for them. So this was like a kind of like a bargain basement alternative where you were guaranteed a spot at like a much, much cheaper price, but obviously extremely illegal.
Yeah, extremely legal.
So do you want to hear, the guy we're talking about is Rick Singer, who I'm sure he has been mentioned in this, but the names I had heard were Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin. I hadn't really heard about this one guy at the center of it all.
Neither had I. And I think that, like, and this is what, we'll obviously talk about the documentary ourselves, but I'm glad the documentary
broke it down,
did this and kind of brought it back to this. And like, again, I will get into it. It wasn't just him. Like, I think the system is the problem and there's multiple people at fault. But yeah, this was like the kingpin of everything.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. We're talking about this based on the new Netflix film, I want to say. It's kind of a documentary, kind of a dramatization of the phone calls that were recorded, because the FBI, once they got involved, had tapped phones and like had all these word for word conversations between this guy, Rick Singer, and various clients that he helped. So there's like dramatizations of him on the phone to these people. And it's well done. It's much better than the ad made it look, I thought.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. When I started it and I saw that they were doing like this crime call kind of vibe, I was like, I'm fucking out. Absolutely not. And then I realized that they were kind of interspersing it with the talking heads and like other shit. And then I was like, oh no, actually, this is done well.
Yeah.
I still maybe would argue that it's probably slightly too long, but that's just a Netflix thing. But
it is,
yeah,
very
stick
long.
With it. If you turn it on and you're like, oh, I'm not arse watching this dramatization bullshit, like, bear with it. Like, it's not that soap opera-y or whatever. Like, it's done, I think that in that sense, it's done well.
Trying to see what it got on Rotten Tomatoes. Obviously.
It's probably not long enough, is it?
Probably not. Rotten Tomatoes. 86% so far. That's
it's
not
one
bad.
Of the better Netflix documentaries that I've watched in recent times. I will say I feel like I didn't learn a lot after maybe like the first hour. Do you know that kind of way?
Yeah.
Which is, that's my point. I think it could have been shorter, but anyway.
Yeah, and then it's kind of left with a lot unanswered, because there's a lot of people, not unanswered, but there's a lot of people still to be sentenced. So a lot of it is still open-ended with that. But anyway, Rick Singer. I got a lot of this from RollingStone.com and CNN.com. So please don't sue me. So Singer was a graduate of Trinity University in Texas, and he claims to have a master's degree in counseling and a doctorate in business and organizational management. He coached high school sports for a while, but then he transitioned into college admissions counseling in 1992 with the Future Stars College and Career Counseling. That was his company. And then he sold that because he didn't think he was good at running a business. He said he was better at coaching than running a business. So he went back to coaching for a while. No, he didn't. He went into like a mortgage company and like was in like the world of leadership in corporate leadership or some bullshit. Anyway, he then flip-flopped and went back in 2004 and set up another company, which was a counseling service known as The Key, which is what this is all centered around. The Key is the one mentioned in the film, isn't it?
Yeah.
So according to court filings, Singer ran two organizations, the for-profit LLC The Key, which provided college counseling and test prep services, and a tax-exempt nonprofit, The Key Worldwide Foundation. So The Key Worldwide Foundation was set up to provide guidance, encouragement, and opportunity to disadvantaged students around the world, according to its website. But this is what he used as the front for his side door scam, and he'd like funnel his payments from the other business through that to fund bribes for like administrators, college administrators and coaches. When he was successful for 8 years, he made $25 million in 8 years off the scam.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like when you say it like that.
That's a lot of money.
Well, I think Brittany Broski. Well.
Yeah. Well, he wrote two books in those years.
Of course he did.
Yeah, with another author called Rebecca Hendershot. The first one was called Getting in Personal Brands. A personal brand is essential to gaining admission to the college of your choice. And gaining admission to your college of choice, which is basically sounds like the same title again. But the book was full of legitimate tips and tricks to hack the college application process, such as how to write the perfect college essay or get a higher score on the SATs. But the co-author said that even in like legitimate business dealings, he was always taking the low road. And she said in one instance, he suggested that a wealthy student fraudulently claimed to be an impoverished child of a single mother in his personal essay. She said it was a personal statement all about his experiences growing up poor. And I was literally sitting in a mansion when he showed it to me. Rick had been telling him for weeks to write this essay, telling him he was a poor student, but the kid was having trouble writing it because he couldn't imagine what it was like to be poor.
Christ.
Yeah. So Singer and his company, The Key, allegedly helped wealthy students score better on the ACTs and SATs by helping them cheat on the exams. He is also accused of bribing college coaches and athletic officials to say that a prospective student should be accepted because they were a recruit for their sports team. But the coaches and Rick knew that the student was not a competitive player, and the whole athletic profile was fake. We said he was paid about $25 million by parents to help their children get into colleges. And as you said, he got caught. He like ratted. He was ratted out by someone who had been ratted out by someone, and then he ratted out all these families. So he's actively cooperating with the criminal investigation, and is like fully like come out and said, "I am responsible. I'm totally guilty." But he hasn't been sentenced yet because he's still like actively helping in the investigation. So he's pled guilty to money laundering, racketeering, obstruction of justice, and tax evasion. He was released on a $500,000 bond, and he's going to be sentenced on June 19th this year. He faces a maximum sentence of 65 years in prison and a $1.25 million fine, which doesn't seem like a lot. It's like 1/25th of what he made from it.
But that, and that's the whole issue with the celebs as well. Like they're like, and we'll get into it, like in terms of what the Lachlans and they them all paid, but like
them all,
they all financially, it didn't really make
sure the crime
any of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And they said that in the film, like it's hard to hurt these people in the in their pockets because they have so much money and they're willing to throw it around. So I got in touch with my sister-in-law, who is American, lives in America, went through the whole college admissions process in America, to ask her about it and get her take on it, because the way the film starts out, it like shows all these students, like I think they must be from YouTube, like, you know, where kids are like filming themselves opening their email to see if they got into college or whatever, and they have loads of these videos.
Oh yeah, it's like a big, yeah, it's a big, I don't want to say trend, but like I suppose that's the only word, like it's a big thing that a lot of people would do.
Yeah, and there's like a whole emphasis put on like the pressure on kids to get into Ivy League colleges these days, and how upset kids are when they don't get in and stuff. So I was kind of just asking her a bit about that. And she said, basically, in America, it's such a blurred line of what gets you into college because there are so many things taken into consideration. So there's like, it's not just an exam. It's like your extracurriculars, like your type, the type of person you are. A lot more things go into it. So in Ireland, she said, whereas in Ireland, if you did shit in your Leaving Cert and got into a great school, it would clearly be suspicious because like that, all they base it off is the Leaving Cert. So in, I think in terms of a scandal, I can see how parents would be able to finagle their kids into a school. Because if they do, like if someone does bad on their Leaving Cert, you're going to be like, right, well, how did they get into whatever their course or medicine course or whatever. But if you do bad in your SATs, they'll be like, okay, maybe they got in on their personal essay or their extracurriculars or whatever. So she said, I don't know how this makes sense, but she said she went to the University of Michigan. She said it has a lot of Jewish students, and the university also has a lot of Jewish donors. So if my family, generation after generation, has gone to the University of Michigan and now donates to the school, the odds of me getting in are very, very good, because to turn that student away, it's also turning away the money. So that is allowed, like that's the backdoor route that I think we're talking about. Like these big, is, I don't think that really happens. Maybe it does in Ireland, but not to the same extent.
I would say it, I'd be very surprised if it didn't happen, but like obviously you're not talking, I am sure large sums of money have changed hands, but are you talking on the same level? Definitely not.
Yeah. And to the same extent, like it's not as.
And I think it would be more like, you know, any of that kind of private school.
Yeah.
Bullshit, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. She said people just love any excuse to feel entitled. She said, I don't know if it's necessarily more competitive than admissions in Ireland or not. People just love any excuse to feel entitled or better than others because of the school they went to. And I just keep thinking of Andy Bernard and Cornell as a great example. So that's...
Oh, Andy Bernard.
Yeah.
Andy Bernard. Yeah, so basically, I'm after finding this piece here. So like, the front door, in inverted commas, are the students who get in on merit. So that's like 99% of the students. Maybe a bit less, probably. You apply in the normal way, you're judging your merit, as Ariana mentioned, like whatever you can contribute to each campus, whether that's intellectually or with your extracurriculars, your personal essay, what you are like as a person, blah, blah, blah. The back door is then students whose parents give like massive sums of money to the university. And as we said, completely legal and technically ethical. But like, it's constantly called into question, and I think this documentary will continue to call it into question. There's like a specific spotlight on it now, because obviously that backdoor is only available if you have money, which the majority of people don't, you know? And as you said, like the sums that your man, the coach, what is his name?
Rick Singer.
Like Rick Singer, you can see, and now again, these are like, it's not actually him, but like the dramatizations, the conversations are real, but like the actor playing Rick Singer is like, so the back door, if you want to get into Harvard, that's going to be like 45 million. And the dad on the other end of the phone is like, Jesus fucking Christ. So yeah, and that's what I think, that's why, as we mentioned, like people went for this side door, because it was just
cheaper.
It was cheaper, yeah. We all have a bargain.
Yeah.
It was the middle aisle of the college admissions.
And it's not a big stretch from the legal way around, but it obviously is illegal. Like, to guarantee a place based on money is illegal, and that's kind of the difference between the back door and the side door.
Yeah.
What did you think of... Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, go on.
No, you go.
What did you think of your man, the coach? Let me bring up
his name again.
John Vandemore. What did you think of him?
Was he the Stanford guy? And he was like...
Yeah.
Stanford, and he like... It was like, oh, he said, like, there's money has changed hands, but he was like, I had no part in it. Like, I don't know how, like, what happened there. He maintains that, like, he never took any money from him.
Yeah. So basically, just in terms of this documentary, in case you were wondering, like, why didn't they interview fucking Larry Loughlin or whatever? Apparently they asked her, and they all, and like, they asked all the other, like, celebrities and, like, the families involved. And obviously they all said no. But this guy said yes. He wasn't one of the family members, as we said, but was an ex-sailing coach at Stanford. And he was like the only co-conspirator of the scandal to sit down. He'd worked at Stanford for over a decade. And as you said, he did accept like these payments from Singer. But he didn't kind of view them as bribes.
They were donations.
Yeah, he took the money to consider people that Singer was putting forward, because again, you're talking about an area that's like underfunded. So he just took that as like Singer kind of supporting that and helping him kind of make hires. And his whole thing was that like he didn't keep any of the money. It all went back into the sailing program, but like they were still fundamentally bribes.
Yeah.
And like, obviously when it was all uncovered, he faced charges like wire and mail fraud. He pled guilty to one count of conspiracy to commit racketeering, and he took a plea deal. So he did 6 months house arrest. He's on 2 years probation, and he paid a $10,000 fine.
He lost his job and all. Like, he wasn't it a big thing for him, because he'd worked at Stanford for like 10 years or whatever. He lived on the campus. He lost his home, his job, absolutely everything.
Yeah. And like, this was what I was going to ask you, because like, he paints like a sympathetic figure, right? And like, I do, it's hard when you read when it's like, okay, all the money went to the sailing program. But I'm just like, was it willful ignorance, or was it like, were you just thick? And I really mean that in as a non-disparaging way as possible, but like, were you genuinely just stupid that you were like, how, like, something is wrong here. This can't be right.
Yeah. I genuinely think across the board, this was just like people who are used to getting what they want. And it just didn't even cross their minds that it's wrong. It's just like, this is what you do when you have the resources. And like, this option has been brought to us. Why would we not take it? Like, I just don't think they even... Like, I just think they never thought they would be caught out, and they absolutely never thought they would do time for it.
But sorry, yeah. I don't mean the parents of the kids.
You mean Stanford guy?
I mean him, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's probably the same. Like, it's just businessmen doing business. I don't think he really kind of probably sat back and thought, what does this mean? Or like, is this ethically right? I do think they're all just a little bit thick.
I ask anyway, because so it says at the end of the documentary basically that he's working, he kind of independently coaches sailing now. He completed a couple of qualifications while he was under house arrest. and he works somewhere else now, basically. But he's also working on a book about his experience called Rigged Justice: How the College Admission Scandal Ruined an Innocent Man's Life. And I'm just like,
no, no.
And I know, obviously, like, fucking clickbaity titles or whatever, but I'm just like, you weren't funny.
Yeah.
Like, and I, you can, and that's what I just find. And this is why I'm saying, like, there are lots of people to blame, and like the system is to blame, and that whole level of pressure that kids face, that's the issue. That's what you need to be looking at. That, like, people would be so desperate to go to these means. And we also need to look at why the rich get so rich and why we need to eat them.
Yeah.
But I just, when I see shit like that, I'm like, oh.
And I thought as well, like, watching.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Not really taking in who was who. He did come across at the start, be like, oh, this innocent man who just kind of crossed paths with Rick Singer, given his take on the whole situation. And then at the end, I was like, hang on a second, this guy was in on it. Like, he was absolutely, when they had him like going to court and stuff and pleading guilty or not guilty, I can't remember what he pled, but I was like, what the hell have I missed here? Because he very much believes that he's not guilty, but he absolutely is, but whether he realizes it or not is another thing.
Yeah.
And now he's trying to profit off it. That's just wrong.
See, that's what I mean. It's just like, it all comes back to this issue of money. And it's like,
surely there's a law that you can't profit off your crimes, isn't there?
I don't think so.
What was there?
You may tell that to OJ Simpson because he's flat.
That's
out.
What I'm thinking about. Yeah. Someone, you have to, who was it that tried to write a book? Was it OJ? Someone tried to write a book recently and they were like, the family came out. Oh my God, was it OJ? And then Nicole's family came out and made sure he couldn't make a penny off
the
book.
I doubt it was. Well, in fairness, OJ has already written a book called If I Did It.
Yeah, so. Yes. But he can't profit off it.
Can he not?
I don't think he can keep the money.
You want
I don't
to
know.
That here and I'll...
No, I don't know what I'm thinking of. Can you profit off your crimes?
Make sure you're not Googling that off a work computer.
Any profit off crime? Yes or no?
What's this about crime not paying, eh?
Oh, Son of Sam back. Law. Son of Sam, okay. Yes. I have heard about this because it's absolutely been mentioned on some sort of true crime podcast. So the Son of Sam Law is a term for any law designed to keep criminals from profiting from the publicity of their crimes, often by selling their stories to publishers. Such laws often authorize the state to seize money earned from deals such as book, movie, biographies, and paid interviews and use it to compensate the criminal's victims.
Interesting.
Yeah. And
that's only the state.
Hang on, there's a bit about OJ here. A prominent example is the litigation between the family of Ron Goldman and O.J. Simpson following Simpson's acquittal for Goldman's murder. Goldman's family won a wrongful death claim against Simpson for more than $30 million. When Simpson later published a book about the murder, If I Did It, a court awarded the book's rights to the Goldman family to help satisfy the judgment.
Sorry, it's not funny. The situation, can I just stress, is fundamentally not funny. And
absolutely
it's not funny that he wrote a book called If I Did It. But at the
that
same time,
funny.
It's just like, it's funny in terms of what the fuck is wrong with the world?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I actually saw?
What gives you the right?
That clip, you know that clip of him going up to Ruby Wax, like pretending to stab her for like, she clearly did a documentary on him or something years ago. Have you seen that clip?
Yes. And he's just like, if I was to do it like this.
And it's like, what? Yeah. Anyway, that came on my TikTok the other day, so I was just thinking about it. Did you know, pop quiz, did you know who Olivia Jade and or Laurie Loughlin were before this scandal?
I knew Laurie Loughlin because obviously I was a massive 90210 head, the reboot, and she's the mom in it.
Yeah.
She's the mom in it. I also, in my Mary-Kate and Ashley research recently, she was in Full House.
She sure was.
But I never watched sure that. Was. I just know her face, mainly as the mom in 90210. I did not know who Olivia Jade was, though, until I watched this film.
When you say that, I'm like, oh yeah, that's how I knew her. Because like, I didn't know the name Laurie Loughlin, but I knew the face when it started coming up. I didn't have a breeze who Olivia Jade was, which I was like kind of disappointed in myself because
I
like to consider myself up to date on the old YouTubers, but this won't escape me. But yeah, so they were kind of one of the biggest names attached to the scandal. Laurie Loughlin, as you mentioned, best known for her role in Full House, When Calls the Heart as well, a Hallmark series, if anyone watched that. Her and her husband, whose name is Massimo Giannulli, basically wanted to get Olivia and her older sister Isabella into college. And this was, now I don't, we'll talk about Felicity Huffman and her family as well. Felicity says her children didn't know about it, but this seems like Olivia and Isabella were like fully, like actively in on it. They pled guilty. They ended up doing jail time. The charges that she pled guilty to were... So this was the thing. So they initially pled not guilty, which was like, what the fuck are you doing? Like anyone who's watched a single episode of Suits would know that that was a bad move, but whatever. So basically, the initial indictment was that the couple alleged that they had offered $500,000 in exchange for University of Southern California, USC, to accept both their daughters on the grounds of their athletic abilities, namely as rowers. So there was a whole thing where they were, and this was what your man Singer did, is like he'd get the kids set up in shots of them doing like the specific sport. So if they were doing polo.
Her on the fucking rowing machine.
Yeah, because all these wealthy families would have like a pool in the back, or they'd have access to a gym, and they'd set up these photos where it's like, look like you're rowing or jump out of the water. And then Singer would fucking take them, Photoshop them either onto a different body or whatever, or like would simply just like use the photos and be like, look, this is them doing their bits. Look at them, so active, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
I'd love to see those Photoshop pictures. I wonder, was he good at it? You'd have to be pretty good at Photoshop to get away with that.
This is the thing. But then I'm like, what was funny about the Olivia Jade thing was that I just don't know how they thought they were going to get away with it when she was such a prominent YouTuber.
Yeah.
But anyway, they eventually pled guilty. So I think this was May 2020. Loughlin pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit wire and mail fraud. And her husband did the same. And then they were sentenced in August, 2 months in prison. So Laurie is out now. Giannulli was sentenced to 5 months. I think he's still in. And we were talking about the fines. Like Loughlin got $150,000 fine. And then they have 2 years of supervised release. Like they have to do community service, blah, blah, blah. Giannulli is like $250,000. So obviously that's all $250,000. Buttons, though, in comparison to, like, do you know what I mean? If they had it to pay, then like that was probably not... I mean, it was probably a big amount of money to them, but like not big enough that it would actually really impact them at all.
Yeah.
You know? Some people talked about Loughlin's time in jail, saying that she was kind of having a banger at the start, but then she was grand.
Well, you would.
And then other places said that she spent the time reading books or whatever. As of right now, in February of this year, it was revealed that she's potentially nearly finished her 100 hours of court-mandated community service. She's been working with children who have learning disabilities and has found it very fulfilling, a source said. Good for her, yeah. I think the relationship with her daughters is grand now. I don't know. Did you watch Olivia on the Red Table Talk?
No.
That is extremely interesting. I'll get into that in a sec. Sorry, we'd mentioned that she was on the Full House. There was a Netflix reboot, Fuller House. She was dropped from that. She was dropped from When Calls the Heart. Apparently she's excited to work again, but she's concerned about the documentary and how it's going to affect her future job offers, as I'd imagine.
It didn't like specifically hone in on them. It mentioned them. It's not a whole film about them. I don't think it'll affect her any more than it already has.
If you even look at Olivia Jade's YouTube comments now, though, like, they're all talking about the documentary.
Oh, okay. Yeah, probably like, affected Olivia Jade, because I wouldn't have associated her with this until I watched it.
Yeah. So this is the thing. So obviously Olivia Jade was like this YouTuber, influencer, whatever. Like, as I said, I didn't really know who she was. She's the daughter of these two people. So like, she kind of had the benefit of that, the benefit of the nepotism. But like, the influencing kind of became like a passion project for her. She started during high school and it was like your usual kind of influencer, like get ready with me, fashion, beauty, little bits like that. She ended up doing collabs with like Sephora. She was in campaigns for Marc Jacobs. She was like very successful in her own right doing that kind of buzz. And then this is where like she's obviously vlogging like her when she's in high school. And I think there's interview clips of her being like that she wanted to drop out as she got more successful with the influencing and whatever else. And her parents were like, no. And then there was this whole thing of her going to USC and new video clips of her from her own vlogs being like, Jesus Christ, I absolutely fucking hate this. I hate college. Why am I here? Blah, blah, blah. And then you have a clip at the end of the video of her being like, oh, as much as I hate it, like I'm just so blessed to be educated and all this, blah, blah, blah. Like,
total absolutely left turn.
Yeah.
And wasn't it her guidance counselor that kind of flagged that something was up?
Yeah. So basically, so she got accepted into USC as a rower. And her, when her high school was alerted, they kind of went back and they were like, this is not true. There's no rowing team here. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. There's like, she doesn't row here. And I'm pretty sure she's way too busy with the vlogging to row anywhere else. So what's this about?
Yeah. Olivia fully knew what her parents did to get her into USC, but also didn't think there was anything wrong with it. An insider told Us Weekly. And it says in the documentary that she was like CC'd on the emails. So she started in 2018. She was a communications major. What up? And this was the thing. So she did SponCon with Amazon Prime, where she was like showing her dorm on her channel and was talking about like her college lifestyle, her college diet, whatever. I think a lot of those videos are gone now if you're to look. And she was actually on spring break when the news broke. And she kind of went to ground, obviously, as you would. She came back in, I think, August 2019 on her YouTube channel to basically be like, hi guys, I've been gone for ages. I can't talk about anything, but I can't wait to come back. Blah, 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 blah. And then didn't really say anything publicly until the end of last year, December 2020, when she gave an interview with the Red Table Talk, which is Jada Pinkett Smith's, the Smiths, well, it's not just hers because all the Smiths do it. It's like the Smith family's interview series. On Facebook. And like the grandma was like absolutely allergic to having her on. She's like, she's the epitome of white privilege. Like, I don't know why we're doing this, whatever. And like Willa and Jada were kind of more sympathetic. And now in fairness, if you're to watch the interview, she kind of says all the right things. And she does apologize. And she is like, I understand fully why it was wrong. Like, I took someone's place. I did not deserve that place.
Did they get kicked out?
So the thing was, I think she said she left immediately, but I don't think she unenrolled until like the March of whenever it was announced. So that would have been like a month or so after.
And I'd imagine they were like, she was forced to do that, really.
Well, she said in the Red Table Talk interview that she was like, oh, I was so embarrassed I couldn't go back. Okay. Sorry, hang on, I have it here. It was reported that Olivia Jade immediately dropped out of USC, but it was later confirmed she dropped out officially in March 2019 after a court hearing. But as I said, she said in the Red Table Talk interview, she was like, there was a lot that when I was applying, I was not fully aware of what I was going on. I just felt so ashamed. I was like, I can't go back. I never went back. I was too embarrassed. I shouldn't have been there in the first place, clearly. But like, you're talking about when the scandal broke as well, even though she didn't initially say anything. Obviously, people went to town because it's fucking hilarious that it's like Lori Loughlin's daughter, this absolute queen of the Who's, like, got like paid to get in. It's just, people went mad. And this is the whole thing. Like, people probably went too far because...
Was it an overreaction, do you think?
Like, I think anytime you get personal, I do think that, but this is the thing, like, the internet and Instagram comments are no place for nuance. Like, fundamentally, what she did was wrong. She knew, and she doesn't kind of say as much. She doesn't say that she knew in the Red Table Talk, and she kind of puts a lot of the blame on her parents, even though she does apologize herself, is the thing.
I think that's fair, because, like, she is only, like, what, that's what she knows, like, her... You trust your parents. Yeah, to do and the right thing.
She does acknowledge that. She was like, I was in this bubble. I just thought, again, because of that backdoor process, she was like, that was a thing that people in my bubble did. Like, that was, and like, again, it just makes you fucking sick to think of the money and whatever else. And like, it's totally unrelatable to us. But as I said, she said all the right things. I don't know if she's sorry or if she's sorry that they ended up getting caught, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, she still is in that bubble. Like nothing has really changed for her. She's probably gotten more famous, if anything.
Yeah, there was a massive element of them thinking they were just above the law because of who they were and because they had money. Like, I'm going to be honest. Like, and the grandma says this on Red Table Talk. She was like, I don't know why she's here because, like, she'll be fine. Like, yeah. She could just, and she was kind of like, you could just keep on keeping on. And in fairness, like, Olivia Jade was like, yeah, but that's the issue. Like, people do keep on keeping on, and that's not right. And she didn't make the point that, like,
what's the alternative? Like, what's she going to do? Just stop and become poor? Like, no.
Well, no, but I don't think that's it. But it's like, obviously the thing was that it shouldn't have happened in the first place. And it's acknowledging why it happened in the first place. And she did say that again, where it's like, oh, like, I'm automatically ahead because of the colour of my skin and who I am. Like, the odds were never stacked against her with that regard. And yet they still felt like, oh, okay, we're going to cheat our way in. You know, because that's the thing. It was like, why? And clearly it was from, like, she didn't want to fucking go to college. It seemed like she never wanted to go to college.
She didn't need to.
It was insane pressure. She didn't need to, but like, She didn't want to is the thing. And it's like, it was this insane, like, pressure from her parents or whatever, like, who, I will say, clearly wanted the best for her, in inverted commas, in that they were like, oh, we didn't go to college, you should go to college, which I think is sensible. But at the same time, she would have been fine.
Yeah.
Like, and if it was the whole thing of like, no, you need to go to college to, like, learn and to try and set an example. Yeah, but why would you do that? And then cheat her way in. Like, none of it makes sense. It's just all like, whatever I think they thought they were doing.
They just wanted to be like, yes, my gorgeous child is in Stanford. Can you believe it? Or wherever the hell.
Yeah, it's that prestige as well to be able to say, oh yeah, well, Livy's in USA. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
So
talk about our favorite housewife.
Yeah. Let's do it.
So this is I'm going to talk about Felicity Huffman, obviously. Probably the most famous name mixed up in all of this. You will obviously know her from Desperate Housewives. She is, of course, in Christmas with the Cranks.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
Famously, she's in. She's been nominated and has won a load of awards for Trans America. And she's done loads of stuff. She's well known. She's a big face.
Married to William H. Macy.
Yes, who is also well known.
Who's in Eeyore.
Shameless, Fargo.
Eeyore.
Is he in Eeyore?
He's in a series and a half of Eeyore at the start, and then he's like, bye.
Okay. But he's not really mentioned this, but so I got this info from townandcountrymag.com. So Felicity Huffman, in 2019, when the news of the college admissions scandal broke, Felicity Huffman was among the celebrities charged in the Justice Department's investigation. She is accused of fixing the conditions for her older daughter Sophia's SAT test. She also allegedly explored inflating scores for her younger daughter Georgia Grace Macy before deciding against it. Court documents revealed that William Singer, who is known as Rick Singer, the central figure in the scandal, met with Huffman and William H. Macy in their home ahead of the December 2017 SAT. And he advised Huffman and her husband that he controlled a testing center and could arrange for a third party to purport to proctor their daughter's SAT and secretly correct her answers afterwards. So ultimately, Huffman's daughter received a score of 1420 on the SATs, an improvement of approximately 400 points over her PSAT, according to the Justice Department's documents, which is a suspicious increase from the mosque.
Suspicious. That's weird.
So,
like, the worst thing about this specific situation, though, is that the daughters
didn't know.
Well, not the worst thing, obviously, because, like, fucking money and rich people, don't get me wrong, capitalism, it's all bad. But, like, that they didn't know. And it's like, so obviously, like, Olivia Jade was more like high profile because of who she was in her own right. So, like, people knew her, even if you didn't know her as, like, Larry Loughlin's daughter or whatever. So, like,
she was a role model to her peers.
Yeah. And, like, obviously, she knew. So, like, she's a dickhead. But, like, these kids.
They didn't know.
Yeah, and like to have them follow them because like their parents were so selfish. Because that's where it comes from. It comes from a place of like them wanting this for their kids, but really for themselves.
Yeah, totally. Huffman and Macy reportedly made a $15,000 donation to the Key Worldwide Foundation, the fake charity that Rick Singer had founded. An employee at the foundation then sent a reply falsely stating that the donation would allow us to move forward with our plans to provide educational and self-enrichment programs to disadvantaged youth, according to court documents. Her daughter, Sophia Macy, has since been accepted to college on her own merits. Go her. Good one. Good woman, Sophia. Huffman was sentenced to 14 days in prison. She was also ordered to pay a $30,000 fine and perform 250 hours of community service. She pled guilty and has served her short stint in prison. She was released in October 2019 and has now completed her full sentence, including the community service and supervised release. With all of this behind her, it seems that she's hoping to resume her acting career. A source told Entertainment Tonight that Huffman had a new agent and at some point in the near future, she's looking forward to going back to work. Good woman,
yeah,
Felicity.
She's apparently set to star in this new baseball comedy pilot for ABC. This basically sounds like the show was written for you. It's untitled, but it's inspired by Susan Savage, the real-life owner of the AAA baseball team, the Sacramento River Cats. Cool. And she's supposedly going to play the woman who inherits the team after being suddenly widowed. With the show following her, she figures out how to run the team alongside her son. And she is also due to serve as an executive producer on the series. So there you go. Fall up. That's what rich people do.
Yeah,
but like Deadline has said that she's been like heavily courted for TV series and pilots since. I understand it obviously because you're going to be like, let's have a look at this like for a nose. But then it's like, oh, I just hate it. I hate it all. I hate Hollywood. I hate money. It's just.
Her daughter is in Carnegie Mellon now. And I think she wants to be an actress as well. I'm not sure if she's been cast in anything yet that you would know, but
I think William H. Macy was talking about her being like, oh, she's such a talent.
Yeah.
She's such a talent. Wait, she's here.
Following her parents' footsteps. So that's the goss.
Would you recommend people watch the documentary?
Yeah, I think so. If you have any interest in it at all, it's worth a watch. And it's kind of just mad how the whole system works and doesn't work at the same time. And there is a whole there's a podcast actually came out today by This American Life, and it's about how the SAT system and the college admission system has been affected because of COVID, and how actually the SATs have become optional for a lot of colleges, and how that's affecting like their admissions rate and all that. It's actually, I've listened to most of it, the episode. If you're interested in any of that at all, it's a good listen. And this is a great watch.
Couldn't agree more. Mini bandwagons, Breed?
Absolutely. I have so many for you. You would not believe. Let me bring them up. I got on to the Instagram followers because I actually haven't done that in a while. And I haven't been doing much myself. So here's what came in. Gemma actually said the college admission scandal doc on Netflix. This one's for you, Gemma. This episode goes out to Gemma.
Shout out, Gemma.
Restaurant boxes, have to say, I'm absolutely loving them.
Yeah, I would say there's a fundamental issue with them, though, in that I think, who is it? You know, Shane Byrne, who does like Shannon's hair, beauty, brows, dog grooming, Kimmage Road.
Yeah.
Shane Byrne, yeah, big fan of him on this podcast. He made the point that it's like you're paying €80 to have to cook something yourself.
Yeah, and like, I saw that actually.
Kind of fair. But I do love the notions. Don't get me wrong, I've done it. But if you take a step back, don't take the step back because you just upset yourself. You will upset yourself.
No, do. Treat yourself.
But you're supporting local businesses as well. So do that. Absolutely do that.
The Line of Duty new season is coming in a lot. We don't watch it, so apparently it was a big deal.
Listen to Shrine of Duty. We will not be covering it, and they will, and they're very funny and much better at it than we will. Yeah. Maybe we will, but like, there's six fucking seasons that it's too late for us. We'll get there eventually at some stage, but
yeah.
Shrine of Duty for the win.
The Cappuccino app, making podcasts for just your friend group, so stunning to wake up to. I feel like that's our WhatsApp anyway.
I hate that. I absolutely hate it. Sorry. No.
Why?
Sorry. That is just voices.
The common people have podcasts too, Fadula.
And it's called Cappuccino. Hey, that. Sorry. That just sounds like Clubhouse. People just keep inventing these apps. I'm sick of it.
Are they different? They are different.
They are different, but like barely.
Getting vaccinated, someone said. Love that for you.
Yeah, I mean, we'd like to be on that bandwagon.
I'd love to see it. I don't even want to be on that. I want people who need it to get it first. I would love for the people, just for people to keep getting it.
I'd love for anyone to get it at this point.
Yeah.
Literally anyone. Happy for them.
Cake in a wine glass picnic TikTok trend, which I genuinely really want to do. I know it's stupid, but I really want to do it.
I don't understand it and I refuse to. And as someone who's permanently sticky already, I just don't think I can get on board with that.
Yeah. Roller skating, impatiently waiting for my skates I ordered yesterday. Did you send that one in?
Same. But all my protective gear arrived. So I might just...
I love that you got protective gear.
I have to. But everyone says it, like wrist guards and all.
Oh, you have That's to. You would.
Yeah.
I went to a roller disco a couple of years ago and I was buzzing for it. And I got there and could not do a lap. It was like ice skating. I had to hold the wall the whole way around. And then I just sat down for the rest of the hour because I was just so upset that I couldn't do it straight away. So I don't think I'll be jumping on that because it's just...
Fair, yeah.
Seems too difficult. But I love that for you. Harry Styles, a review, Grease, TikTok, old school, bandwagon, Blackberries.
BDM. Did you already laugh, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. Crocheting, the return of sea swimming, Taskmaster is back, and The Flight Attendant, which I've actually watched the first episode of, and it is very, very good. It's Kaylee Cuoco, is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
And she like wakes up in a hotel room. She's a flight attendant. She wakes up in a hotel room with a man who's been like, his throat has been slit and he's dead, and he's in the bed beside her, but she can't remember anything. So that's the premise. I found it good.
Interesting.
She's very good in it.
Go for Kaylee Cuoco, that's all I'll say.
I love that she's still working. Love that she's getting the work.
Me too.
Did you have anything to add to the list?
No.
Okay, fantastic. I'm going to do tarot reading this Wednesday for our patrons. So stay tuned for that. I'll put up a question box maybe. No, I will. I tend to do the same five categories because I get a lot of the same questions. Maybe I will put up a question box. We'll see. We are picking the beanie winners. We are picking them tonight. We'll put them up on Instagram and we'll get your details and we'll get Ellen to send you out a beanie.
We'll put them up on Instagram. In the event that we pick anyone who is not on Instagram, we'll say it on next week's episode. And if you just want to email us your details then. But if you are on Instagram, keep an eye out.
We don't know what this
week's... Please continue to leave us reviews.
Yeah.
We don't know what this week's what.
Patreon episode is, but
I had suggested someone come back to me on this if anyone wants us to do the David Dobrik stuff, because like that's kind of grim, but like maybe not necessarily any of the David Dobrik stuff, but
I don't know anything about him or this, but if people want it, I'm willing to dive into it.
Or even like how frenemies has become such a thing, like that, because I read about the whole fact that like Trisha Paytas and Ethan Klein, and it's really demented. So if anyone wants to send us a good concise voice note, we'd be happy to include it, or maybe we'll talk about it. I don't know, but I need more help on that, because I'm some of the way there, I'm not all the way there. What was the other thing I was going to say? We're at Bandwagon's Podcast on social media. This podcast has been produced by Collaborative Studios. Follow us on Spotify to get all the latest up-to-date episodes. We're on Patreon. Last week we just did like a general Q&A, and we talked about the Drag Race UK finale. We talked about The Circle. We talked about our favourite smells. We talked about other kind of inane shit, to be honest. It's good crack. And that is our lot for this week. We will see you next week.
Goodbye. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.